You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilkins bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for many years, Raising the Standard. So Amen. We're honored to be here with you and be a part of WCNO and what they're accomplishing here in the area. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. But if you can't, we offer CDs of the program. If you'd like to order one of those, you can. And so we're honored to be here. As I said, one thing we want to remember and let you know up front, I always sometimes forget, we are in a different location than we've been in the past. The building we're in wasn't adequate, so we had to leave. And we're using a Stewart Alliance Church now. We have been for several weeks on Osceola Boulevard or Street. And on Saturday now, on the Shabbat, from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. So if you want to come and visit, you can come and visit us at that particular time. The phone number for you, for us, if you want to call, is area code 772-287-285. I'm thinking about my phone number, 285-7007.
Let me repeat that, okay, honey?
Go right ahead, honey.
Area code 772-285-7007. And that's at the Stewart Alliance Church on Osceola Boulevard. And the address is 455
mm-hmm.
Osceola
Street.
And that's at 2:00 in the afternoon on Saturdays, on the Sabbath.
That's right.
So come and visit us and join us, and we will celebrate the Sabbath together. Amen?
Amen.
What do we do? You might say, what do you do on the Sabbath? Well, we light the Sabbath candles, we pray, we have communion, we teach the word. Amen. And we pray and have fellowship.
Whatever else God wants us to do.
Amen. So it's a wonderful time to get together.
And we're honored to have Margie Swaney with us again today.
Amen.
And she's going to share a few things with us here later. But we're honored to be here.
Yes.
Amen.
So I hope you all know, probably some of you do listen to our program all the time, but a lot of people will take this weekend very lightly. They'll say, well, this is a Jewish thing. It's not for us. Rosh Hashanah is on Monday, the first day. And remember, it's one of 2 days, and they'll honor that celebration 2 days in a row because they didn't know for sure what moment and hour the new moon came out.
That's right, and the Sabbath is for Christians as well.
That's right.
It's not just for Jewish people.
That's it.
It's for Christians as well because the Sabbath was established way before the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And, you know, God told Moses to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy.
That was before the Torah was put in place.
It's a holy day. It was before the Torah was put in place.
That's right.
And so it's very important.
So what I want to try to accomplish with you today a little bit, you know, we've talked a lot about trumpets and how important it is, and I always ask you, could it be this year? Could this be the year that there'll be a resurrection out from among the dead and a catching away of all true believers? You hear what I said? True believers. Not
so we're
me.
Going to talk about Rosh Hashanah.
Right. We're going to talk about Rosh Hashanah. So ready? Well, that's talking about the new year. Mainly, it's trumpets. It's the time of trumpets with the Jewish calendar. So I'm going to try to give you some further evidence that the resurrection should, and it's more likely that it will than not, on what? on trumpets one particular year. We know God has those appointed times and place to teach us about the Messiah. And there's only one appointed time that comes on a new moon. And what is it? It's trumpets. And then we'll talk about an idiom that we read in the Bible all the time. But before we do that, I want to go over to 1 Corinthians 15 with you for a moment. Now, we've read this before, but let's read it again.
Could I say something?
Sure can.
So what we're talking about, trumpets, is the only feast of the Lord that comes
on a new moon.
A new moon out of all the feasts, which are seven of them.
Right.
And it's also called Rosh Hashanah, right?
That's right.
And so, which is the beginning of the year.
The head of the year.
The head of the year. And so it's important for us to know, it's not just, this is one of the feasts of the Lord, not the feast of the Jews, but we're not setting a date when Jesus is going to catch us away, but he's already fulfilled the first
four
appointed
times,
which came about in the spring.
Right,
he fulfilled every one of them right to the T, as people
everything
right on time, right to the minute. Actually,
right.
Even even when he died,
right on exactly
when the priest said it is finished, he said the same thing. So every one of them were fulfilled right to every single point that's mentioned in the Bible. So why doesn't it make sense that he's going to fulfill the last three right on time? So we're not setting a date. So
nope.
If anybody calls us, we're not setting a date. We don't know what year. We don't really know exactly how the calendar is, but we're trying to our best to go along with the calendar that God set up, God's prophetic calendar, not our calendar. They changed they changed Passover to Easter. That's wrong. That was wrong. They changed a lot of things.
That's right.
And the church has changed a lot of things. And there's a lot of paganism in the church because they have changed so many things. So what's happened then to Christian believers? They don't really know the truth. Those who believe in Yeshua, if they don't really study the Bible, if they're not getting the truth, then we're deceived, then we can be deceived. And we've all been deceived many times. But our point here is to try to bring forth the truth
right
of God's word.
Amen.
And to on the best of our ability to try to give you truth so you will know about these feasts. And I want to mention once before, we are also on Facebook, so you can watch this teaching again if you go to Jean-Donna Hilton on Facebook. You can see it again, and then you can also see the book that he's going to show that he's teaching out of right now. So many people have ordered this book, and it's not according to any particular denomination. It's just the word of God, and every single thing that Pastor Gene has put in this book has one or two Bible scriptures to prove the points, right, Pastor James?
Right.
So why don't you hold up that book and let the people that are on Facebook see
the cover,
the front, and it has all the feasts of the Lord. You're trying to get it in front of this.
Okay.
It has all the feasts of the Lord, and
plus a lot of other things.
A lot of other things, and so you can see it says God's prophetic calendar, prophetic pictures of the Messiah. So if you can order this book for $25 plus shipping and handling, and you will have a full course in all the feasts of the Lord, the last days, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, and
Purim, Hanukkah,
all of them, even the ones that are not
appointed times.
So he's going to go ahead and start teaching now. So I wanted you to know that. So you can call, or you can area code 772-285-7007, and we just praise God that we are able to be on here to teach this today.
That's right. And we've talked about this a lot. Maybe somebody's listening for the first time, but it needs to be told again. There's two calendars in the Bible, and we see from Genesis 1 to Exodus chapter 12 that God had what I call a civil calendar. It started in the fall in the month of Tishri and ran 12 months. But when they came out of Egypt, God changed the number on the month, not the season of the month. So when they came out of Egypt, when was that? That was in the month of Nisan, which would have been what? The seventh month on the old civil calendar. God said, today, I'm going to make it the first month on your calendar. And so there's two calendars. Yeshua's already fulfilled one, and he will fulfill the other one. So we talk about Rosh Hashanah. It's the beginning of the year. So they honor the civil New Year every year in the fall, and also they honor Exodus chapter 12.
And which is the spiritual.
The spiritual calendar.
Which is at Nisan, which
that's
is
right.
when he died, when he was put on the cross.
That's right.
Nisan 14,
mm-hmm.
a full moon, and he fulfilled everything that he was to fulfill during that his lifetime.
That's right. So I'm going to take you over to 1 Corinthians 15 with me, and we'll read a couple of scriptures here. I'm going to read verses 50 through 52. We read this before, but the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God.
Word of God.
So we're going to continue to give what the Word of God says with all this. All right? And Paul, this whole chapter, I've said this before, if you don't know this, chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote a whole chapter, think about it, 58 verses testifying and declaring about the resurrection out from among the dead, what's going to happen. And so he begins to close this out in verse 50. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So our corruption in our bodies and all that we have, it has to be changed into something incorruptible. And it's going to happen what? I believe on a trumpets one year. So verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now Paul's saying this is a mystery. Do we fully understand it? We do now with the Bible and understanding the Jewish roots. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." It means we're not all going to be dead, but we shall all be what? Changed. That word is a word in the Greek, means to be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. We talked about the last trump last week. It's the last trump that's blown on the close of the Feast of Trumpets on 2 days in a row. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised and incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed or transformed." Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to take you over, and I want to show you some things that the Jewish people understood in Jesus' day. And what we have to remember, the audience that he was speaking to, they were all Jews. They understood what he was saying. I'm going to take you over to Mark. I think if I wrote it down here, right? Yeah, so Mark 13. And we're going to read verses 32 through 37. This is very clear. But now, we as Gentiles, most of us, and all the years that's gone by, well, we kind of overlook some things, what's really being said. These few verses give you the whole picture and understanding what God's going to do. Now, before we read it all, I want to mention this to you. The very first verse, 32 of Mark 13, says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man." No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now think about this. The Son was on the earth at that time, Yeshua. He had not been taken to glory. You know, he hadn't died and resurrected. And so he was a man. He didn't say or do anything that God didn't tell him to do. So he didn't know everything except what the Father told him to do. But this was an idiom that was so important for us to understand. This idiom is also, it's in the month of Tishri, it's called the hidden day. And we know that you look at the moon every month. It goes dark for what? About a little over 3 days, and then it comes back out in the light again. Well, Jesus was in the tomb for almost 3 days, when he was 3 days. And then the light came when he came out of the tomb.
Amen.
So this day and this hour is going to be talking about a Jewish appointed time that only God knows for sure. How about the new moon? Did they know for sure what day or what moment? That's why they honored 2 days. They'd send a herald of men and women out on the mountains to look at the sky and examine to try to find out the first sliver of the new moon. And they did it for 2 days. As soon as they saw a sliver, they had run back to the Sanhedrin, which was the religious, you know, leadership, and they'd tell the leader of that, the president, that it looks like there's a new moon. Well, then he'd go out and he'd have to verify that. And if it was a new moon, I like what he said. It's a born-again moon. And as Donna mentioned before we started, only one appointed time that God has comes on a new moon, and that's trumpets. So this verse right here is clarifying when this is during the year. All right? Now look at verse 33. "Take ye," that means ye means you all. Don't you like that in the King James? It means you all. "Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not where," or not, "you know not when the time is." time of what? The new moon. They're looking for a new moon. And they do it every, think about it, they do it 12 times a year. Every month they were looking for a new moon. But the most important one was the one was an appointed time that God put in place. Now, verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. Didn't he come to the earth and then leave, huh? Who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Well, what's a porter? Do you know what a porter is, Pastor Donna? What is a porter? It's a gatekeeper.
Okay.
Because remember, good. We talked about on Rosh Hashanah, all the gates in Yeshua's day in the temple were all open. They had gatekeepers on all those, okay? Now, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Here's talking about him coming. Now, these scriptures are referring to the very last day, the end of Jacob's trouble. At evening, or midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. This is referring to the Day of Atonement. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. So we want you to understand this, okay? Now I'm going to open up my book here a little bit. Hallelujah. What was I going to look at here with you today? Well, let's take a look at this now. We've talked about the principles here. It's a new moon, appointed time on God's calendar. And he talks about they were looking for something and they didn't know what for sure what time it was going to come. They were looking for the new moon. He came to this earth. He gave authority to all of his disciples and all those. They went out and did their work and brought people in and commanded the porter to watch because it's the last 7 years is Jacob's trouble. And then we get down to on the seventh year, we come to time called what? The days of all, the last 10 days. So they should be watching and praying at that time in a heavenly way, okay? And then I like verse 35. For ye know not when the master, who's the master? This is Yeshua of the house cometh, okay? Is it say it's going to be in the evening or at midnight or in the cock crowing or in the morning? Mm-hmm. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you asleep. So when we put all this together, it gives a clue here. His word to them had a hidden remez or meaning in verse 32 and 33 we just read. He is referring to the Feast of Trumpets, which the Jews understood as the resurrection day, Rosh Hashanah, called the hidden day. We talked about that last week. Then in verses 34 through 37, which concludes this, Yeshua begins telling another parable with the hidden meaning of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, which reveals his second advent to the earth. So this is referring to what? The end of Jacob's trouble. There won't be a second advent till the end. There's going to be a second coming, but that's going to be when he comes for the ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile and Messiah. He's going to come in the sky, not back to the earth at that particular time. As we now know, these two events are 10 days apart, aren't they? Therefore, Yeshua joins these two events right together because both events make up the beginning of the establishment of his kingdom here on the earth for how long? For 1,000 years. It's called the seventh millennium from Adam. This then brings clarity to verse 32, what we read, where Yeshua only mentions the day and hour and not the month. He didn't have to tell them what month it was. You notice that?
Yes.
He didn't have to tell them. They knew he was looking for a new moon, and there's only one appointed time. They know it's the month of Tishri. Consequently, there was no need to mention the month because it was already understood in the Jewish thought at that particular time. They knew about the last day, the beginning of the seventh day, and they also understood the new moon idiom we talked about. You won't know the day nor the hour. And Yeshua presented all this in these few verses to them, and he warned him. He said, "Do what he said to watch." Therefore, it appears that Yeshua's word, "No man knoweth nor the day nor the hour," is a reference to the resurrection just before his what? Second advent. There will be a resurrection at the end of Jacob's trouble. Not a catching away. Well, who's going to be resurrected? All the Old Testament saints that walked righteous with God. Right? Who else? Those that died during the Jacob's trouble that accepted Yeshua will be in that group at a second advent. These verses have nothing to do with Yeshua's second coming, the catching away. I just mentioned that. And why? Because the second coming occurs at the beginning of the tribulation, not at the end. With this thought, consider this. Since we have determined the day of the second advent to be Yom Kippur at the end of the tribulation, all we have to do is back up from that day, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, 2,520 days. Where did that come from, Pastor Gene? Well, the tribulation period is going to last for what? 7 prophetic years on God's calendar. It comes out to 2,520 days. You back up and you will come to Yom Kippur, the beginning of the tribulation. Then will be the day that God will again turn on his prophetic clock for Israel, completing Daniel's 70th week, the last 7 years. The great shofar will be blown, announcing the time of Jacob's trouble. Did you know this is a thought people don't think about? If you read over the book of Daniel, it's in the book, chapter 7. It tells you over there when Jesus was cut off, the prophetic clock for Israel stopped at that meeting. Right at that moment, it stopped. Now, we're not talking about time. Time went on. But their prophetic clock stopped after 69 weeks of that prophecy, which was being fulfilled. So now they're looking for what? The 70th week, this is what we're talking about. It's going to be turned off, and it will be, until the end of this time. And then it'll be turned back on again. Here's another thought. Since we also know there will be another resurrection on the Day of Trumpets at the end of the tribulation, if God resurrects all the Old Testament saints on that day, if you back up those 7 years, the ecclesia is going to be resurrected and caught away on the exact time frame, okay? Starting on what? Trumpets. He's going to do everything the same way.
Which would be what? 7 years before?
7 years before. Okay.
The end.
So if you back up, it's 2,520 days. We will come to the Feast of Trumpets at the beginning of Jacob's trouble. This day then is the day of call of the what? What was it last week we talked about? The last trump. The last trump blown on those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that we discuss.
How many times do they blow it?
100 times on Rosh Hashanah. 33 in the morning, 33 at noon, 33 in the afternoon, and the great shofar then is blown in the evening when they close out. And it's called what? The awakening blast.
And they still do that in Israel today.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. It'll happen this coming week.
Mm-hmm. So we talk about the beginning of Jacob's trouble. That's called the second coming when he comes. But at the end, we're talking about his second advent. He's going to come and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives, as it says over in Acts chapter 1. He's going to come, okay? This then makes it very clear that we do not know the time of the year and season. I'm sorry, that we do know the time and the season of the year when the resurrection and the catching away will take place. It's revealed in 1 Thessalonians 5:1. We've read that over and over and over again. The only part of the equation that we do not have, and I've said this for years, is the unknown year.
Yes.
We know the time of the year, but we don't know what year we're on for sure. But it should happen at the conclusion, what, of 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth. To conclude these thoughts, we must understand that the days of all consist of 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Therefore, here in Mark 13, we read 32-37, Yeshua combines the total Jewish thought around these last 10 days leading up to his second advent. So this has given us proof, I believe, more than anything else, when this all will happen. So now we looked at this. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I should have had my Bible open. I could save some little bit of time here, but we're doing all right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, we've talked about this many times on our program over the years. You know, by the way, we've been on this program 21 plus years now, and we're still clicking on. We had a delay here for 8 months, but we're back on the air. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we're marching on.
Well, we never went off the air.
No, we had
other
somebody
people
fill
help
in,
us
but,
out.
But it wasn't us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of you are glad that Pastor Gene is back teaching. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Now, if you look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, the very first verse is very important. It says, but Paul tells the Thessalonians, mm-hmm. but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, there's two key words here, times and seasons. All right. Times means the fixed times. What are the fixed times that God's put in place, aren't they? And then the seasons are what? The appointed times. So he says, I've already taught you all that.
And we can't look at them on our calendar. We have to look at them on...
on the Jewish prophetic calendar, right. That's 30 days, 12 times a year, which is how many days? 365 days. Or 360. I'm thinking of our calendar. 360.
And we even in the book of Revelation, it talks about the 360. And you have that also in your
it's all
commentary.
In there.
It's
right.
in there. It talks about the 360.
That's right.
So God doesn't... Well, somebody might say, well, that was just at the beginning of when the Bible was written, you know, in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But the book of Revelation is the last book.
That's right.
And it talks about 360 days right there.
It's never changed.
It's never changed. God doesn't change the numbers, just like he doesn't change the day of the Sabbath. You know, God didn't change it to Sunday. People did.
That's right.
The Sabbath has always been on the seventh day.
Like a lot of people look at, you know, if you went to a Jewish synagogue and got a calendar, if you looked at the calendar real close, that calendar would have 354 days in the year instead of the 360.
And so it's not even right.
And they say, well, what happened to those other 6 days? I'll tell you what happened to them. Man got involved. When they come out technically in our day and could tell you the exact moment when the new moon came and all that, well, that's when they started thinking a different way. So what do? They know exactly. So what do they do to make sure they're right? 1 month they'll have 30 days. The next month they'll have 29 days. The next month they'll have 30 and then 29. So you have 6 months out of the year. Instead of having 30 days each month, you're going to have 29. There's your missing 6 days. It's not in their mind, but in the Bible it's there.
Then there's 1 year out of I'm not sure how many years where they have 13 months
That's
instead
right.
of 12.
That's right. It's right. And so they have a sort of like a leap year also. 7 times out of every 19 years, they add an extra month to their calendar that you talked about. They have 2 months of Adar. So the calendar has been kind of screwed up with everything. But the Bible has not been messed up. What it says in the Bible, that's what we must go by.
Yes.
And if we do, we won't go wrong. And so the Bible says there's going to be 360 days in that particular year. Now, our calendar, the Gregorian calendar, we have what? 365 days. So we got 5 more days than the Jewish people look at, see?
Well, you know, we're going by the moon, by the sun.
By the sun, not the moon.
And really, by the sun. And actually, Sunday is by the sun, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. And some people call Sunday now the Sabbath. Well, that's not the Sabbath.
No.
So let's finish reading this here. And I'm going to see if Donna's got something she wants to. I'm in verse 2 now of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul says, for yourselves know exactly perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is when he's coming back. Well, a lot of people stop right there. You better get ready. You're going to be caught like a thief in the night. That's a big lie. We will not be caught as a thief. If we're watching and walking with the Lord, just like we talked about in Mark 13, you will not be caught. You know the time of the year. You know what they're looking for, the new moon and all that. And I look every year. Monday is Rosh Hashanah. Tuesday is the second day. I'm going to be looking up every single one of those 2 days, okay? And then he goes on in verse 3, for when they are those that are outside the ecclesia that don't know Jesus.
That could be backsliders.
Right. Well, which say, peace and safety. Well, peace and safety is a clue to what? Jacob's trouble. There's going to be some peace and safety there for a while. Then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. There's going to be quite a bit of peace probably during the first 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. At mid-tribulation, all hell is going to break loose, and it's not going to be peace and safety any longer. Verse 4, now listen to this. But ye, that means you all, brethren, so he's talking to what? Believers in Yeshua, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you out as a thief. Hear that? We have a requirement. If we study the Word of God, walk with the Lord, love Him, believe His Word, we will not be caught as a thief in the night.
Because we should not be in darkness.
No, we're not in darkness. He goes on, ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be what? Sober. That means we're not drunk, drinking. It's not, the King James word here doesn't mean that you're not drinking. What would that mean? It means self-controlled. But let us watch and be what? Self-controlled. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are be drunken, now he's talking about, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day Be sober again, self-control, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God, I love verse 9, when the first I marked in my Bible when I got saved. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That right there tells you you're not going to go through Jacob's trouble. What's the time of wrath going to be? Jacob's trouble.
Yes.
So we have not been appointed to that. So we got people preaching today that you're going to go all the way through that. Well, remember, the book of Revelation doesn't give us that clue. If you look at it close, you read up through the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, he's talking to the church. And then when we go into chapter 4, verse 1, we find out that John's caught away. And from that point on to the rest of the book, who's he talking to? Jesus is talking to the Jewish people. That's a Jewish document for them to understand what's going on. But a lot of people don't. They don't care to know. It's a shame. That's what we have today. Ignorance. I don't want to be ignorant.
Doesn't the Bible talk about being ignorant?
Yeah, you don't want to be ignorant. That's right.
We should not be ignorant.
That's right.
We should know the times and the seasons.
Yeah, verse 13 in this chapter says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren,
right,
concerning them which are asleep, that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Who's those that have no hope? The ones that don't know the Messiah. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we all believe that? I believe that with all my heart. We got more proof that he died and rose from the grave than Abraham Lincoln lived.
That's right.
The Bible talks about one place that more than 500 people saw him at one time after his resurrection. And also in Josephus' writings, it's mentioned about the same event. Even so, them also which, let me go back to verse 14 again, the beginning. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep or have died in Jesus will God bring with him. Where's their spirits and souls at that time? They're with the Lord. Their bodies are still in the grave. There's going to be a joining together. For this we say unto you, verse 15, by the word of the Lord. Hear that? Not by the word of Paul, but the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That means we're not going to go out before them. We're not going to proceed before them. And what's that term asleep mean? It means the people that have died in Messiah. Now, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of, here's your last trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, not on the ground, in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I like verse 18. You know, if people are telling you that you're going to go through Jacob's trouble, they should read verse 18 here. Wherefore, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Amen. If you were going to go through Jacob's trouble, I believe he would have someplace he would have told them what they should have been doing. Amen. I want somebody to turn over to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14. Read that for me.
So we need to comfort each other.
That's right.
With the good word of God.
That's right. And not all these lies that are being preached out there. We have not been assigned or appointed any way, shape, or form to the wrath of God. Aren't you glad?
Praise the Lord. Thank you,
but
Jesus.
But to obtain salvation, not only saving our souls, but saving us from this wrath that's going to come upon the earth. Could somebody read that?
Do you have it, Margie?
What, Zechariah?
Yeah, 9:14.
Okay.
I had a note in my Bible on it.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Zechariah 9:14.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet.
There you go, right out of.
And shall go with whirlwinds of the south.
Mm-hmm. So it's right there in Zechariah. We just read, it follows right into the New Testament, the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Amen. And so we take verse 16 here in chapter 4, of 1 Thessalonians, we just read about the shout of the archangel and all that. We can relate that with what? 1 Thessalonians, that's where we're at. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it fits right in with it about the last trump. We're not going to all be asleep, but we're all going to be what? Changed or transformed. So this
in the twinkling
of an eye, that quick, at the last trump. If we can just keep this all straight, we will be all right. Amen.
You know, when your eye twinkles, you really can't control it. I mean, you can make your eyes blink and all, but you know, your eyes do twinkle. And that's how it's going to happen.
That's right.
We can't control when he's coming back. He's coming back when God sends him
back.
He's
got it all planned.
But we don't know the time.
Nope.
We don't know the exact day, but we do know the season.
That's right.
And you know, even if you look at the season and the days, you know, in Israel, the time clock is different than it is here in the United States.
That's right.
By 6 or 7 hours.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we need to really kind of keep our eye on Jerusalem, because that would be the time clock of the earth that God uses, wouldn't you say, Pastor Gene?
Right. You're right.
Amen.
Now I'm going to go one more place, and then I think this will conclude my thought on this. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read a few verses here. Now I want to point out one thing. The audience, I'm going to keep saying this, the Gospels that you read in your Bible, the audience that Yeshua was talking to were all Jews. There was no Gentiles until Cornelius came in quite a few years after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So he's talking to his own people, okay? And so we kind of bring it into the church and all. But I want you to look at verse...
Especially in Matthew.
Yeah, look at verse 29. Where are we? If we were in this picture here, what's in the writing here, where are we at in this? Verse 29 gives you the clue. 29 says, immediately after the tribulation. So the tribulation is over now. So where have we been all that time? We've been in heaven for 7 years with the Messiah.
Amen.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Let me tell you, Satan and his crew will be shaken in their boots. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes... Who's the tribes? The tribes of Israel, of the earth, or the land of Israel. They'll mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, the shofar Haggadah, and they shall gather together his elect. Who's the elect? The Jews, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is on the Day of Atonement. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Well, I'm not going to get into all that, but that's good to read all that as well. Amen? So this is so important to show us where we're at. Amen? We have a lot of misconceptions in the Bible today. And so I think this is further evidence that it's not just by chance, but most likely, and by the power of the Word of God, that the Lord's going to come on 1 year, on the Feast of Trumpets, on one of those 2 days. So we got a 48-hour period starting on Monday and Tuesday. So are you ready? Are you looking up? If you don't know the Messiah, boy, this would be a great time to make sure that you do. You know, you can ask him to come into your life. All you have to do is pray. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've done this or I've done that. And I can't save myself, but you can. And give it all to him. And he'll come in and change your life. He did it with Don and I in a moment of time. That quick. Just in one twinkle of an eye, changed our life, and we were never the same again, were we, Pastor Donna?
Amen. So we repent, and we ask Jesus to come into
our
life.
That's right.
You know, if you want to get down on your knees, or just close your eyes and ask the Lord to come into your heart.
That's it.
And he will do that, and he will change. He'll make a change in your life. And,
that's right.
And, you know, you can start over again. You may start over again just for a few days, and then the catching away, or you may start over again, and may not be a catching away for till the next year or the following year, but very close.
Yeah, we've been waiting 35 years.
But I think the time is so close.
Yes, right.
And I read something on Facebook that one of my dear sisters put on there. You read it today, I think. And it says that, of course, we have a president by the name of Trump.
That's right.
And she says she believes that
he's the last Trump.
He's the last Trump, and that he will be our last president of the United States of America, and that there won't be any more defilement in the White House, and that the Lord will come back sometime during his
reign in office.
Well, he's president.
So he's got what? He's got...
Whether it's this term or maybe it's the following term.
He's got about 6.5 years.
We don't know.
With the re-election and all that.
But right. Even if it takes it up to the following time, which you have a whole study on that, which the Lord gave you about, because you the years and all that. I don't know if you want to talk
about
that.
It's in my book.
That,
yeah, it's too much to get into.
But it's in your book, and you really feel
the last two prophetic days.
You really feel it's going to happen within the next few years.
That's right.
That's so right. We need to be ready.
All the time.
All the time.
So all you have to
be
do,
looking up.
All you have to do is ask.
Ask
you know,
the Lord.
Come with just heart faith and say, Lord, I believe that you died and rose for me, and your blood is what cleanses me from all my sin.
Look at all the things that are happening in the earth today. You know, there's all kinds of violence and terrible things, but you know, people are still coming to the Lord.
That's right.
Sure, there's people that are turning away, falling away even, and embracing other religions. And it says that that will also happen in the last days.
That's right.
But there's going to be a great catching away of those who believe in the Yeshua as their Messiah, as their Lord and Savior.
Our
He's
pastor,
the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Our Amen. Pastor down south, we were under for quite a few years. It was his saying, I'm going in the second load. Well, what's the first load? That's dying and going to the grave. The second load is to be caught away. He said, I'm going in the second load.
But either way, you're
doesn't
gonna,
matter. You win.
Either way, he's already gone on. So
that's right.
Now he's going to go in the
He's going to go in
the first
load.
But that's okay. It says they will rise first. Amen.
That's right.
And so they will be in the sky. We're going to then those who are alive will be caught up to meet them in the air. In the air.
That's what it says.
And then what? Together, they will all go, whether they died first or they didn't die. But there's only going to be a few out of all the people that have lived during this time. It's only going to be a
small number
of people who
don't die,
who are caught away, and their bodies change in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Amen.
Amen.
Well, with that, we're going to ask Miss Margie to share what the Lord has given her about worship.
Praise and worship.
Praise
yes.
and worship. So this is Miss Margie.
This marvelous book she's been, we read it together.
And those who are watching this, I know you've got microphones in their faces, but that's okay. At least you get an idea. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Miss Margie.
Well, praise the Lord. I hope that everybody enjoyed the teaching. And thank you, Pastor Gene, so much. It was a wonderful teaching. And I pray that each and every person received from the Lord today. Amen.
Sure.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been reading the book, The Throne Zone. And I'll hold the book up. It's by Keith Duncan, and he talks about praise and worship. And Pastor Gene and Pastor Don and I have been reading this together and sharing good things about this book. And so I'd like to continue a little bit more today on this.
Good stuff, boy.
Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this day of Sabbath rest for our body, mind, and spirit. 6 days we will labor, and on the seventh day we shall rest. For God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. And this can be found in Genesis 2. I believe Pastor Donna was talking earlier about the Sabbath day. And it can be found. The Sabbath was not done by Moses and the commandments. It was done in the very beginning when God created
Absolutely
the heaven
right.
and the earth. And so on the seventh day he rested. So in Genesis 2:2. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Thank you, Father. And I would like to give our Lord praise for this time of sharing.
Yes.
We are blessed to be able to come here and teach the word of God and to share it, not keeping it to ourselves, but sharing all these wonderful things. And I'd like to go to Psalms 134, if we could, for our first praise. Psalms 134, it's very short. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. And Psalms 135, 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. And one more is Psalms 18.
A good one too.
I think of a Hebrew word. Our dear sister says Todah Rabbah, which is thank the Lord. We need to be thankful.
Yes.
And thank the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
And his mercy.
In Psalms 18, 1 through 3, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Amen. And in the Old Covenant, in Deuteronomy 6, praise the Lord, Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5, in the Torah, hear, O Israel, or Shema, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Praise the Lord. God commanded the children of Israel, and he commands us today to put this in our heart.
That's right.
That it may be well with us. For a few weeks, I've been sharing from the book, The Throne Zone, about praise and worship. Praise is giving thanks and celebrating.
Yes.
For all the wonderful things he has done for us, such as salvation, miracles, healing our bodies. There are countless reasons to celebrate. And then we enter into worship, to enter into his presence, to glorify him and him alone, just you and him. In our gathering together in his holy church, or in our personal time with him, in spirit and in truth.
Hallelujah, yes.
Reading the word is a form of worship. I remember Pastor Gene spoke of that. It's the highest form of worship, is to read his word.
Mm-hmm.
And In the latter part of the book, it talks about building a resting place for our Heavenly Father. We need a place for Him to come to, creating a holy atmosphere for His presence.
Thank you, Lord.
Since the very first day I came to the Spirit of Prophecy ministry, Pastors Gene and Pastor Donna prepares the way for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's an invitation with prayer, praise to welcome the King of Glory into our presence. The Holy Ghost directing us and directing the meeting. It's His flow. It's His plan. The agenda should be to gather together, to sit in His presence, so that God can reveal the specifics and strategies for each individual and their life and what God has planned for them and their destiny, and for the body of Christ, a place where men and women can be touched by God's Spirit. Let us return our sanctuaries back to the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
To
Amen. The way it was intended from the very beginning. Amen. Not man's agenda.
That's right.
God's agenda. We desire His Spirit and His truth. And a biblical example can be read in 2 Chronicles. So if we can turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 29. Thank you, Father. In verse 2, this chapter speaks of King Hezekiah, who reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And in verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. So in verse 3 through 7, he is explaining that he came back after the temple was desecrated and defiled. He came back and he opened the doors and he began to clean out the debris that was in there. And he brought the Levites and he said, sanctify yourselves as back in the day, and carry out the filthiness that was in the temple. Thank you, Father. And in verse 10, Hezekiah says, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. Amen. Unfortunately, our sanctuaries today have become social clubs.
Yeah.
Some have lost the reverence for our God and King to praise and worship Him and mm-hmm. fellowship and love one another, praying in His sanctuary for one another.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well,
we're down to about our last 4 or 5 minutes here, and I just want to thank all of you for letting us be a part of your day to listen, as you listen to the program here. We're honored to be here on WCNO Radio again, and we'll be here next Saturday at the same time, unless the Lord takes us home this weekend, we shall see. But anyways, we're honored to be here. Anyway, we didn't give an address. If you'd like to order this book about the pictures of the Messiah, make out a check to our ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's 413. And the address is Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. And you can avail yourselves of that. There's a lot more detail in it. We only covered a little bit, but you'll have all the appointed times and all that you can study on your own. So, as we always tell you, it's like a college course, but you don't read it like a regular book. You pick out the appointed. We're coming up on trumpets now. You can read the two chapters on trumpets, and you'll learn a lot of what God would want you to know about some things that are, you know, there's a lot of people talking about hidden truth. There's things that are being revealed today that we realize that are not so hidden after all. So we're honored to be here with you, and we asked a while ago if there's anybody that had not accepted Christ. We wanted you to listen to what we had to say. If you prayed today and received Jesus into your life, we'd appreciate it if you'd call us at area code 772, and the number's 285-7007. Tell us what God's doing with you, and we can put it in our hearts, and maybe be something else to talk about another day on the radio program.
Amen.
And another soul came into the kingdom of God. And that's what it's all about. It's not about you and I. It's all about Him. And without Him, we have nothing.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That's right. Or, you know, they could call the radio station WCNO.
That's right.
And we just got to, we want to press in and know the Lord. So ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart that you might be saved on that day.
Yes.
Which would come about could be very soon.
That's right.
And we never know the last day we're going to be here anyway, so we need to always be ready. Always be ready we'll be with the Lord forever.
Amen.
And ever.
Forever
because
and ever.
There's once this life is over with, that's your only chance. The only time you can come and ask Jesus to come into your heart. It's too late once you're dead, but you know your spirit and your soul will never die. So we'll always live. There's only two places that we're going to live forever.
And we choose, don't we?
We choose. It's either going to be with the Lord in heaven, or when the kingdom's set up here on this earth, or it will be in a terrible place called hell.
That's right.
Which we don't want to be there. So we need to pray for our families, our children, our friends, and that we may all be saved and all be together, like the family of God is supposed to be. We're supposed to be together.
Amen.
Just go read Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we want to be under the shadow of God Almighty.
Amen.
Sure. So this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton and Miss Margie with us. And you can reach us at area code 772-285-7007. And we'd just like to bless you this day, on this Sabbath day. If you'd like to come over to the Alliance Church, we'll be there at 2:00. You can come and worship with us on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida on Osceola, right next to the hospital. So come and visit us. And we just want to say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest. Have a blessed day. God bless you.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.